to God. We're going to go to page 12. Just flip over one page if you're still at 10 and go to page 12. It says, sweet our prayer. Amen? Because it's sweet when you talk to Jesus. It should be a sweet thing. Not a laborious, tedious, boring thing, but a very special thing. You're communicating with God. Glory to God. And we're going to sing all three. Sweet our prayer. Yes, indeed. Oh, prayer, sweet our prayer that holds me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and hoped escaped that tender snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy consolation share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through. Amen. Thank the Lord for the power and privilege of prayer. Amen. Let's grab our Bibles tonight, church, and we'll get back to our studies in prophecy. And of course, this week, we're still in the tribulation period studies, and we're looking at week 9 tonight. Week 9. We've got a ways to go, but we'll get there if the rapture don't hit first. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter number 10. Now, let me say this in the outset. We're not skipping verses or chapters. We don't do that here. We go verse by verse expositionally. But the book of Revelation, because of its layout, not being in chronological, historical, sequential order of events, when I'm teaching you the book chronologically,
We're studying the events as they will unfold during the tribulation period, okay? You got that. So that's why last week we were in chapter 11, and this week we're in chapter 10. Because chronologically, this is how it will work out. Praise the Lord, the tribulation period, part 9. Folks, the events of the middle of the tribulation period is our topic of study tonight. Last week, we finished our study on the first half events. There were 5 major events that will take place during the first 42 months of Daniel's 70th week. We reach tonight the midpoint of the tribulation period. A number of things will occur during the midpoint time, and I want us to look at those. Now, the sixth trumpet judgment, which was the second woe judgment, concluded those 5 major events of the first half. That was the 200 million demonic creatures tormenting men on earth. That was the sixth trumpet judgment, the second woe judgment. Now, Daniel's heptad of 7 years, we reach its midpoint tonight. That was found in the sixth trumpet judgment. It was found in chapter 9, verses 13 through 21. It involved the 4 fallen angels leading the 200 million demonic monstrosities that will kill 1/3 of the earth's population at that time. Folks, according to my calculations, that's somewhere between 2 and 3 billion people. Man, that's a lot of blood. But why? Why will God allow this? I'll tell you why. It's because of a Christ-rejecting world. Amen. When you spit upon the Son of God and you reject the love of salvation He offers, God the Father is not happy. And He will pour out His wrath upon this planet because they have rejected His Son. It's coming. Now, it is at this point, just prior to the start of the mid-trib events, that the tribulation enters into a temporary proverbial eye of the storm, eye of the hurricane. But it won't last long, as we'll see tonight, because it is at this midpoint that the Antichrist will proceed to take over the political, the economic, and the religious systems of the entire planet. Now, as we enter our study of these mid-tribulation events tonight, they will encompass chapters 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 17. They encompass, there are a total of 16 events that will take place and occur during the midpoint of the tribulation period. And we'll get them to you quick. They're not simultaneous, but there are 16 things that will take place on planet Earth. We're going to cover the first 3 tonight. First, the little book will be opened. Look with me in Revelation chapter 10. Revelation 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Now, time out, church. This is not a fallen angel, as we saw in chapter 9. This is a holy angel. This is an elect angel, and he's a mighty one. He comes down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Notice that. Verse 1. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book, open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. Now, the temporal suspension of judgments begins with the story of this little book. First, notice who brings the book from heaven. Verse 1. Verse 1 says, another mighty angel. How many of you know tonight that angels are very mighty? They're very powerful. You don't want to mess with an angel. Amen? One angel killed 185,000 Assyrian troops in one night. Just wiped them out, man. One angel killed all the firstborn down in Egypt to let God's people go. I mean, angels are powerful beings. And here's a mighty one coming down from where? Heaven. From heaven. And he's clothed with a cloud. He's got a rainbow about his head. His face is shining like the sun. He's a holy angel. His feet are pillars of fire. He means business. Amen? Secondly, observe what this book is in verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book open. The Hebrew word there is scroll. It's a scroll. Like the scroll we saw in chapter number 5, that no man could open except the Lamb of God. Remember that? This is the second scroll of the book of Revelation. The first one, go to chapter 5. Go to chapter 5, hold your place in 10, we're coming back. Look at verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book. Same Greek word, it's a scroll. That written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And a strong angel proclaimed with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? Loose the seals thereof. So, this is the second scroll coming down from heaven. Amen? The second scroll. Now, this second scroll contained... Now, the first scroll, remember, contained the seven seal judgments. And the seven trumpet judgments of the first half of the tribulation period. That's what the first scroll contained. The seven seal judgments and the seven trumpet judgments. But we're going to be entering into a new phase. The vile judgments, often called the bowl judgments. These are bad. It's going to get real ugly on planet Earth when these angels begin to open these judgments upon the earth. This second scroll is produced by this holy angel containing the seven bowl judgments. They shall occur during the second half of the tribulation period, the last 42 months, which we know is the worst. Now, thirdly, notice the angels roar. The angels roar. Look at verse number 3. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion what? Roareth. You ever hear a lion roar? Yeah. Man, I don't want to be anywhere. Brother Patient, he knows. He was over there. I bet you see him in a while, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do not want to mess with a lion.
Nope.
Especially when he's roaring hungry. He'll have you for dinner. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, this angel has a mighty booming voice to utter the bowl judgment. Fourthly, notice the prohibition given to John in verse 4. The prohibition. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. God here tells John not to record what the angel spoke. Why? Listen carefully. Up to this point, six of the seven trumpet judgments have already sounded. Right? Now, this leaves only the seventh trumpet judgment remaining. Now, remember, just as the seventh seal judgment contained all seven of the trumpet judgments, the seventh trumpet judgment contains all seven of the bowl judgments. See, it's a sequence of judgments, and each seventh judgment contains seven more. So that's what we're seeing here occurring. The seven bowl judgments are in that seventh trumpet judgment. So, the seven vile judgments or bowl judgments will complete the judgments of God declared by the prophets upon rebellious mankind. All of the prophecies dealing with the great tribulation, which is the second half, the last 42 months, will be finished by these seven vile judgments. Verse number 7, look at it. In verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, now that's the seventh trumpet judgment angel, okay, who contains the seven vile bowl judgments. You see it? In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. And as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now, also realize here, beloved, that the seventh trumpet, which contains the seven vile judgments, is actually the third woe judgment. Remember those three woe to the inhabitants of the earth? For this reason, it is the worst of all, because it is the third woe judgment. Now, this little book contains all of the graphic information regarding the seventh trumpet judgment, which contains the seven vile judgments, as they are found in chapters 15 and chapter 16 of the book. Sixthly, notice what John is commanded to do. Look with me at verse number 8. Verse 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went, he's a giant angel. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. It was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. What? Did you catch that? He ate the book, and it tasted so sweet to his spiritual palate, like the Word of God does to yours. But when it got down and he digested it and realized the horror that's coming upon lost man, it was grievous to him. Now, beloved, listen carefully. Beloved, the Apostle John here swallows the book. The content of this little book is the prophecy of the events that will transpire during the middle and second half of the tribulation, the great tribulation. And this clearly reveals the meaning of verses 8 through 10. To every true believer, prophecy is sweet. Amen? You're thrilled that Jesus is coming back for you. That's a sweet truth to entertain. It's sweet, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb to your spiritual taste buds. But, listen carefully. People, that's why prophecy conferences draw huge crowds. But the bitterness within comes from understanding that billions of precious souls shall literally endure the wrath of God, which is so plentifully described in these prophecies. Go to Jeremiah chapter 15. Hold your place in Revelation. We're coming right back. Jeremiah chapter 15. You know what they call Jeremiah? The what?
Weeping prophet.
You got it. The weeping prophet. You know why he wept? God told Jeremiah, I want you to go to my people, and I want you to preach my message to them. But he says, Jeremiah, they will not hear you. They will not hear you because they will not hear me. You know what he did? He wept. Because Jeremiah understood the destruction that was coming upon Jerusalem for her idolatry, and the people would not repent at his preaching. Jeremiah chapter 15. Look with me at verse 16. Verse 16 we read, thy words were found, Jeremiah talking, thy words were found and I did eat them. don't you like chewing on the word of God?
Yes.
Don't you like, you know, those unclean beasts were the ones that cheweth not the cud. They don't chew on the word of God. They're unclean. See that? Now look at this, verse 16. Thy words were found and I did eat them. Every time you open this book, and this book gets in you, and you get in this book, you're eating the Word of God. Spiritually, you are feasting. Just like physically, you eat food. It's the same. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Anyone who's called by the name of God, Jesus Christ, his word is sweet to them. That's why the world hates this book. They don't belong to him. Verse 17, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. What? What? In verse 16, he's rejoicing in the words of God that he ate. In verse 17, he's in bitterness of soul. Why? Because the word of God was so sweet to him, because he received it in spirit and in truth, but the ones he preached it to rejected it. That is a bitter pill to swallow for any Christian. You go to your neighbor, you tell him, give him a gospel tract. Tell him, hey, will you take my Jesus? This has the plan of salvation right there in the back. It has the sinner's prayer. If you just accept Jesus, you can go to heaven. Nah, boom, slam the door in your face.
That's what happened when I brought the book to the Jew.
Yep.
And he says, I'll take it, but I don't know if I'll read it.
See that? Ezekiel chapter 3. It's grievous when they will. You know what they need, but they won't take it. It's like the doctor has the cure. He has the medicine, and the patient says, nope, I don't want your medicine. And they die in their sins. Look at chapter 3 of Ezekiel. Oh, this is good. Chapter 3 of Ezekiel, verse 1. Moreover, he, the Lord, said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. It's Ezekiel chapter 3. Eat this roll. It's the word of God. And go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. He said, I love the word of God. It's so good. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak my words unto them. I'm so glad I've got something to preach to you. Not Bob Oliver's words. Amen? His words. Look at it. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and in hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and in hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. For they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. See, a hard-hearted heart, stony, granite, hard as a rock, the word of God can't penetrate that heart. It needs to be softened by the Holy Spirit. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not. This is a boldness the preacher has. Neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity, Babylon, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, give them my word. Then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up. How many of you knows that the Holy Spirit will always lift you up? He's not going to put you down like the devil. He's going to lift you up out of your situation. And I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river of Chebar in Babylon. Listen, in verse 14, he says, I did everything God told me to do. And verse 14 says, and I went in bitterness. Why? He was faithful. He was obedient. He was bitter because the people would not receive the message of God. Oh, beloved, how grievous that is to a preacher. But here we see, back to Revelation, chapter number 10. Seventhly, observe who the prophecy of the little book is written to. Look in chapter 11. Look at verse 11. And he, the angel, said unto me, John, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Do you know, beloved, think with me. The Apostle John, because of his being the human penman, God is the author of the book of Revelation, he has preached to all the world for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Verse 11 came true. It's been being fulfilled for two millenniums. He's been preaching to the whole world through the book of Revelation. Amen? All tongues, all nations, all kings. Glory to God. Go to chapter 10 and look at verse number 11. Before many peoples, oh, I love that. Many peoples, all the earth is who the book is sent to. All the earth, to put it plainly. Okay, that's the first event that must take place during the mid-trib, is the little book being opened. The second event that will take place during the middle of the tribulation will be the second worldwide conflict. Look in chapter 11 now of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 1. The second event is the next second worldwide conflict. And there was given me a reed, like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the what?
Temple.
Wait a minute now. There's no temple in Israel today. But at this point there is. This is called the Tribulation Period Temple. It will be built. They have all of the materials in Jerusalem right now. They could construct it tonight. They've got everything. All listen, they're breeding red heifers for the purification ashes, for the ceremonies, for the Levitical priesthood. It's all ready to go. They just need the okay from the government, you see. Now, look with me here in verse 1. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. The Jews have a temple and they're worshiping in it during the tribulation period. You see that? Don't let anybody tell you different. Because that's where the Antichrist is going to go. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he's going to walk in there and sit on the mercy seat of God and declare himself to be Jesus Christ. Verse 2, but the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. Notice the word Gentiles. That's the nations of the earth. And the holy city, somebody tell me, what is the holy city?
Jerusalem.
We all know that. The holy city shall they what?
Tread
underfoot. How long?
42
months. You see that? He is describing the events that will transpire during the last half of the tribulation period. There's a second worldwide conflict occurring in verse 2. And they're all after Jerusalem. You see that? They're treading underfoot the Jews. Antichrist's plan, listen to me folks, Antichrist's plan will be to annihilate all of the Jews from the earth. Why? Why would he want to do that?
Because Obama wants to keep Jesus from coming back.
Right. Ellie said it. That will be in order to prevent the prophecy of the millennial kingdom over Israel from being set up. So he wants to exterminate every Jew. But he can't. He can't. Because our God is more powerful. Amen? And they're being preserved in Petra. Now, listen here. This is very important to see. First of all, remember, the first worldwide conflict took place during the first 42 months. Go to Revelation chapter 6. Hold your place again in 11. Revelation 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. Somebody tell me, who's riding that white horse? Nope. That's the white horse of chapter 19 is Jesus. This one is a false Christ. This is Antichrist. He's bringing, you know what white represents? Peace.
Yeah.
It represents peace. He's bringing world peace. Hello? That's why he's going to deceive the nations. He brings world peace. Oh, we're going to worship this guy. He brought world peace like Obama, you know. Listen, look at verse number 1, verse 2. And I saw and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow and a crown, not many crowns, a crown, and was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This guy's bringing war to the earth. You see that? Verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. The color of what?
Blood.
He's bringing bloodshed. And a power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace. See, the white horse brought peace. Now the peace is broken from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. He brought war to the world, a worldwide conflict, in the first half of the tribulation period. This conflict in Revelation chapter 11, back there, verse number 2, is the second worldwide conflict. Okay? Now, also remember that the 10 horns represent 10 kingdoms ruling over, listen, 10 kingdoms, 10 kings, I should say, the horns represent the kings that are ruling over 10 kingdoms, which comprise all of the nations of the earth by geographical territories. Each of the 10 kingdoms, like you've got Africa and probably Egypt combined, you've got New Zealand, Australia, the Aussies, you've got America, Mexico, and Canada, 10 sections that the Antichrist will rule over, 10 kings. He will allow these 10 kings to rule each of the 10 sections called kingdoms. Now, whatever peace existed between the Antichrist and these 10 kings is now shattered as the Antichrist begins his move to take geopolitical control of the entire world. Listen, folks, this is the reason for the second worldwide conflict. Go to Daniel chapter 11. Hold your place again in Revelation. Daniel is a companion book to Revelation. It's indispensable. And some of the prophecies in Daniel are very difficult if you're not comparing Scripture with Scripture from Revelation. Amen? Look in chapter 11 of Daniel. And go with me to verse 39. We're in the mid-tribulation period. Let me just tell you the context. It's mid-trib. Look at verse 39. Thus shall he, that's speaking of Antichrist, Daniel 11:39. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god. Notice the small g?
Yeah.
That's Satan. That's the same small g god of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Blinded the minds of them which believe not. Strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. He's going to bring glory to Satan. You see that? And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end, time of the end, when's that? The last half of the tribulation period, right? At the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. Now, notice here in Daniel 11:40 that in his war against the ten kings, Antichrist and his armies move out in every direction in conquest. He goes against the north. See that in verse 40? That's Syria. Look at verse 44. And but tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth, Antichrist, with his armies. He shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. That's speaking of Syria. He's going to go up there and wipe out Syria, Assad and them, that ugly bunch. Next he goes against the south. That would be Egypt. Look at verse 40. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south, the king of Egypt, push at him. And verse 42, and he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of what?
Egypt
shall not escape. See that? They're getting wiped. The Muslim Brotherhood, they're getting wiped out, man. They chose the wrong side. They went against Israel. Verse 43, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. Why? He took it over. He took it over. He goes against the east. That's Babylon. That's Iraq. Look at verse 44. Tidings out of the what? East shall trouble him, and he shall go forth with fury and destroy them. Now, these three kings, he will succeed in killing. These three kings. Go with me to Daniel chapter 7. He will kill the king of Egypt. He will kill the king of Babylon. And he will kill the king of Syria, according to this prophecy. He's starting in the Middle East, and he's going to work his way out, folks. Look at chapter 7. Now, why is the west not named? Why is he not going west? What's west from Jerusalem? Begins with an M. The Mediterranean Sea. There's no people. It's a sea. It's the ocean. The Mediterranean Sea. So you got the north, the south, and the east. All right. Look at chapter 7, verse number 8. I considered the horns. Now, what are the horns? 10 kings ruling over 10 kingdoms, that's the whole world, right? Sure, the context is tribulation. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them, notice he's among them, the Antichrist, another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns, kings, plucked up by the roots. That's Egypt, Syria, and Babylon. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. He says he's like a man, but he's a devil. That's the Antichrist. He's a devil. You know how Jesus Christ is the God-man? Antichrist will be the devil-man. Literally. Literally. Look at verse number 20. If you're still in Daniel 7. Verse 20. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, Antichrist, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. He'll be the worst of all. 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. That's Antichrist. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. Clearly here we see that he's going to annihilate three kings of the 10 worldwide kingdoms to start his rule of terror. Okay? Now, clearly we see, back to chapter 11 of Revelation. Chapter 11 of Revelation. Notice his conquest of Egypt opens the door for him to conquer all of Africa. Look at, back in chapter 11 of Daniel, somebody look at verse 42 and 43. You see the word Ethiopia?
Yeah. Well, Egypt.
Egypt, yeah. What's below, what's south of Egypt?
Ethiopia.
Yeah, that goes into what? The continent of Africa. Patient will tell you real quick, he lived there. That's Africa. Notice the conquest of Egypt opens his door to all of Africa. That's next on his agenda. He's taken over all of Africa. And verse 43 clearly says that. At this point, he, the Antichrist, will also invade Israel. Look at verse 41. Somebody read me the first part of verse 41.
He shall enter also unto the glorious land.
Bingo. The glorious land is what land? Israel. It's Israel. That's what he wants, Israel. Now, listen carefully. His conquest of Jerusalem will set up the stage for the abomination of desolation, which we'll see next week. But look at the rest of verse 41. Carol, read it.
He shall enter also in the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon.
Time out. Who is Edom and Moab and Ammon? What modern day country? Lucas.
Isn't Edom, I could be wrong, but from my studies, Edom, also known as Esau, basically married an Ishmaelite. Isn't that part of the religion of Islam?
Oh yeah, it's Islam, but I'm asking what country today is made up of Edom, Moab, and Ammon?
Geographically,
it begins with... What?
I cannot answer that question, but I do know what descent they are, and they're definitely Islam. I'm
not sure, they're Islam. Ellie, you're right. It's Jordan. Jordan is comprised of three countries, Moab, Ammon, and Edom. Okay, as Lucas said, that's Jordan. But look what it says in verse 41. These shall escape his Antichrist's hand. Why? Why is he letting those guys go and he's wiping out everybody else around them? Listen carefully. I see two reasons why Jordan is bypassed during this second worldwide conflict of Antichrist. First, could it be that Antichrist is from this area?
What?
Half Jordanian, half Jew? I don't know, but he's letting them live. Could be his brethren over there, you know? Physically, I'm talking. Secondly, listen, it all stems back to the Hashemite kingdom of Jordan. The Hashemites. Do you know who runs the Temple Mount today? Somebody? I know my sister knows. It's not Israel. And it's not Palestine. It's Jordan. Jordan runs the Temple Mount. You know why? They in 1967, when we whooped them and kicked them out of Jerusalem, the Six-Day War... Idi Amin, the guy turns around and hands over Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, to the Jordanians to keep the peace. Buddy, you don't need to hand anything over to keep peace when you've got God on your side. That was a huge mistake. And since 1967, 47 years, Jordan has controlled the Temple Mount. And that's why the Jews can't build their temple. And that's why the Jews aren't allowed to pray up on top of the Temple Mount. Because the Muslims are running that place from Jordan. And guess what? They escaped the sword of Antichrist. These guys from Jordan. Listen carefully now. They believe for real that Jerusalem is their personal property and possession forever. Jordan. And they do indeed control the Temple Mount for a time. But the second reason why Jordan is bypassed, I can say for absolute certainty, it's because in southern Jordan is the city of Basra. And in Basra is Mount Seir. And in Mount Seir is a place called Petra. Sela Petra, where the Jews will be hid during the last half of the tribulation period. That's why the Lord won't allow Antichrist to touch Jordan. His people are in there. You see it? If they started going through Jordan, Antichrist's armies, they would behead ISIS, they're already doing it. They would behead everything in sight, including every Jew. So God doesn't allow them to touch any of Jordan. Now, this is clear from Scripture that the remnant of Israel will already be hiding and supernaturally fed and protected by God. Go back to verse 41 again of Daniel chapter 11. Notice in verse 41, these escape his hand. This will be their city of refuge down in Jordan. And just as Elijah was fed by the ravens in 1 Kings chapter 17, so too will food and water be supplied to the remnant supernaturally. They don't have to go to Howard Johnson. They don't have to go down to Applebee's to eat. It's being brought to them. Amen? Could use ravens. I don't know. Not to God. He's going to feed them and water them all during that 42-month period until he comes back and rescues them from Antichrist. Now, look at this. Something else. Back to Daniel chapter 11. Somebody read us verse 45. And notice where Antichrist will set up his mid-tribulation headquarters. Verse 45, the first half of it.
And he shall plant the tabernacle of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him.
Did you see what she just read? He shall set up his palace. That's his headquarters, folks. That's talking about Antichrist. And that's talking about where? Clearly, Daniel gives us the location in verse 45. It's between the two seas. That is between the Mediterranean Sea and the Salt Sea. What is smack dab between those two seas? Jerusalem! That's where he's going to set up his headquarters, folks. For 42 months until the Lord comes back. Now, not for 42 months. Let me correct myself. Only until he's kicked out of Jerusalem by the Jews, okay? It's only for a time. It's not the whole second half. But the abomination of desolation, which him sitting in the temple of God, that has to occur during the midpoint of the tribulation. So, he's setting up his palace, his headquarters there in Jerusalem. Now, he also states in verse 45, it's at the glorious holy mount. What's that, somebody? The glorious holy mount? Wouldn't that be the temple mount in Jerusalem that's called Mount Zion, the sides of the north? That's what he's talking about, folks. He's giving you the literal geographical location of the Antichrist head palace right there for the midpoint of the tribulation. Look at that. Isn't the Bible, I mean, the Lord just black and white, just read and understand, you know? Oh, the third and final point tonight. The third event that will transpire during the middle of the tribulation period will be the literal assassination of the Antichrist. Back to Daniel chapter 11. Somebody read me verse 45 again.
And he shall plant his tabernacle in the palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him.
Bingo! Did you hear what Doris just read? He, Antichrist, shall come to his what? End. Finished. When Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to put a stop to that old split foot. He's going to put him down. Amen? I'm so glad of that. But this is not talking about the second advent. This is talking about a physical death of the Antichrist during the midpoint of the tribulation period. Listen carefully, folks. His end simply indicates a physical death. Go with me to Revelation chapter 13. Don't miss this. The Antichrist is going to be assassinated. And guess what? He's going to come back to life by satanic power. Why? What is he imitating?
Christ's resurrection.
That's it, Timmy. He's imitating the death, burial, only he won't have one, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me prove that to you. Revelation 13, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, I'm almost done, and saw a beast, it's Antichrist, rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, that's the 10 kingdoms, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, who's the dragon?
Satan.
Oh yeah, that would be the devil, Satan. Gave him his power, look at that. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Yeah, he's going to rule the world. See that? Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were what?
Wounded
to death. Look at it. and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Now notice here, the seventh head, that's Antichrist. That's Antichrist himself is the seventh head. And the seventh head, according to verse 3, dies physically and comes back to life by satanic power imitating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The world at this point will say that's got to be Jesus Christ. He came back from the dead. They will bow down, receive his mark, and worship the beast. This is how deceptive the devil is, folks. He's going to cause people to actually believe that he's the real Jesus. Now, this assassination will take place at the middle point of the tribulation period. Sometime during their second worldwide conflict will he die. But look at the result of this event. Look at the result. Verse 4. Revelation 13. Look at verse 4. And they what?
Worship.
Whoa. They worship the dragon. That's Satan. Which gave power unto the beast. You know the one that came back to life? In verse 3. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? I'll tell you who. Jesus Christ. Amen. Because when my Jesus comes back, he's going to take care of that old guy. I am so glad of that tonight. Father in heaven, thank you tonight for our studies in Revelation. And thank you, Lord, that even though the whole world tonight lieth in wickedness, and the Bible says the whole world will be deceived by the Antichrist, the beast, I thank you, Lord, that we are not deceived. I thank you that we not only have received the truth, Jesus Christ, but we love the truth, Jesus Christ. And Lord, any child of God who's received Jesus Christ and the spirit of truth that he giveth cannot be deceived. Lord, we walk in truth and we worship the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us as we're dismissed tonight. Let us sing to thy name, O God, in a time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals, folks, for a closing hymn tonight. Praise the Lord. What a time that's going to be. Glory.
What channel, Pastor?
I'll get you there. Let's open up our hymnals and stand in hymn number 331. I sure am glad that he's faithful. I can depend upon him, amen? Because of his faithfulness. It's so great. 331. All three. Ah, oh, yes.
You know, they won't even recognize it. They'll think it's just another horror story. Yep.
Hollywood. Hollywood, you know?
They're going to think UFOs took everybody.
Boy, oh boy. I'm telling you, folks. Good to be saved. Oh, thank you, Lord. Sing it like you mean it.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thine hand hath provided.
Think about it.
Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness. and a peace that endureth.
Yes.
Thine only presence to cheer and to guide. Straight hope to faith and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings of life with 10,000 beside.
Thank you, Lord.
His holy name, beloved. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to ask Brother Patient to dismiss us in prayer. Such a blessing to have you with us tonight, brother. We love you already.
Thank
and
you.
Mo, sorry. Thank you for coming, Brother Mo. We hope to see you again, too. We love you, too.
Yeah, you're
welcome. Amen. Amen. Brother, dismiss us in prayer, would you? Glory to God. Amen. You want to dismiss us in prayer?
You say dismiss us in prayer.
Oh, that's okay, brother. No problem. Brother Mike, dismiss us in prayer. Okay.
Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the message you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for being faithful to us. Lord, we just pray that you guide and direct us as we live here. Lord, that you watch over us, Lord, up with our spirits and just protect us, Lord.
Yes.
The snares of the devil. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wednesday night at 7:00.